We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And I'd like to share on the subject of fret not. Fret not. Fret, I don't know if it's a commonly used term in our day and time, but as you're all, I'm sure, very aware of, there's a lot of junk that's been going on in the last number of months, a lot of unrest, not only in the United States, but around the world. Just a lot of stuff. And we do know that the devil is the ruler of this earth, and he does do stuff. He promotes stuff. He moves things. He tries to shake things up. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates the word. He hates the movement of God's word. He hates light. He doesn't like a lot of things. And, you know, it's a reality in this day and time. And some people see it and some people don't see it. And in Hebrews 5, it does talk about being able to discern between good and evil. Because there is good on earth. God's goodness is on earth. Great things are on earth. But there's also an evil present that has its effects. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse, starting with verse 12, talking about God's word, it says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And we understand that in life, like little Wesley was born 2 weeks ago.
Tomorrow.
At this point. Mm-hmm. He's eating breast milk. And enjoying it. You know, if he was to have a steak with the rest of the family that night, it wouldn't work. If the rest of the family had breast milk, it wouldn't work. You know, milk is for babies. And there's nothing wrong with that. But these believers, in it, what he's referring to, were in the Word long enough, they shouldn't need milk. Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we got into God's Word, whenever that was, and started learning truths from God's Word and about what God's Word says, probably became more obvious what was good, what was evil. I mean, you can discern good and evil without the knowledge of God's word. You know, the sun is good, something else is bad. I mean, certain things you just know, but the more we grew in God's word, the more we understood, hey, that is not a good thing, or that is a good thing. And so our senses get exercised by that, by a knowledge of God's word. And, you know, we also have discerning spirits. God can show us very specifically devilish things. So, our understanding and our awareness of good and evil becomes heightened as we know and learn of God's word. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5, the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. And because the devil is the ruler of this earth, he promotes his evil. God is always issuing his love and his peace and his goodness. And the devil is always issuing his devilish things contrary to God. And in chapter 5, verse 20, the circumstance got to be about in Isaiah's day and time in Israel, that we read the following. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In that day and time, things were so upside down that what was good they called bad, and what was bad they called good. What was light, they said, no, that's darkness, really. And what was darkness, they said, no, that's really light. It's just something. This started in the Garden of Eden. Remember, the serpent snuck in there and presented himself to Eve and said, you know, asked her those questions about the partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And eventually he got her to think that what God was considering not good for Adam and Eve, the serpent got her to look at it as a good thing. And he got what was evil by God as good for, and he switched it around, and he got down her to finally say, you know, that is a really good thing. And she partook, and she gave it to Adam, and he, you know, I don't know if she said anything to him, but he took it. must have saw that it was good in it, but it was really evil. And the devil's been doing that ever since, making evil to be good, so to speak, or look good, and good to look evil. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But it becomes so obvious to those who understand God's word, because that's one of the things God says he will do. He will allow us or show us how to discern between good and evil as we learn of his word and think it through in terms of circumstances we're in. Chapter 4, verse 3. Very familiar verses of scripture. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There is a God of this world, and we know it's the devil, it's Satan, the serpent. There are many names given in the Bible of who the devil is. Many of them deal with his function, what he does. But he's the one, as we know, that is in charge of this earth right now. He's in charge. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Right now, the period of time that we live in is called in the Bible man's day. It's called man's day because man rules, basically. The devil is overall ruler, but it's man does what he wants to do. We live in an age of grace right now where God's grace is available to people, his love is available, salvation is available. But doing what the heck you want to do is also available. If you don't want to shun God, you can shun God. If you want to worship the devil, you can worship the devil. It's man's day, and man does the judging. And sometimes this judgment is not filled with righteousness. It's not great. And we live in a day like that. Luke chapter 4, this is Jesus when he just started his ministry. The first thing he did is he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil had tempted him in the wilderness. And in verse 6, we pick it up. It says, and the devil said unto him, all this power... Well, I'll show you. Well, let's go to verse 5, sorry, to get the context. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. So there are, at times, people that have great power on this earth, whether it's financial or political or spiritual or whatever, but they're given that power from the devil. The devil says, he's going to worship me, I'm going to give that guy power. This other person's not going to worship me, he's going to stick his tongue out me and say, no, I'm not doing that, and I'm going to withhold everything I can so he gets nothing. It's just the way it is. So Jesus Christ didn't give in to him. Spoke the word to him, and that was that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So this stuff still goes on today, and the Word of God does show us how we can discern between that which is good and that which is evil. So the question becomes, if it's been around for a while and it happens and we see what's going on, what do we do? How do we deal with it? And one of the answers is in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means methods or schemes. The wiles of the devil. And if we put on that armor of God, then we can stand against that. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, referring to people on people. You know, it's people doing stuff, but what's the influence behind, or the power behind those people? And the true fight, the true spiritual fight, is spiritual. It's a fight between darkness, you know, with darkness, as it says here. It's against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and we are in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, not opinion, but truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying once in a while. No. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is how we deal with what we may cognitively start to recognize is, what the heck is going on? This is how we do it. It's really a spiritual fight, and we may not be given the information on how this is all working, but we do know it is happening, and we can pray. We can pray in the Spirit. So that's how we handle it. We don't want to take a five senses approach to it. It'll only frustrate us. Let's go to Psalm 37. We're just going to read this psalm. It's a great psalm showing how to deal with evil things once you've recognized them. How to deal with evil things once you've recognized them. It really shows the big picture. And this psalm does deal with more than just a couple days of time or a couple years of time. It shows really eternity, but it shows the big picture. Last night we had the Dodd boys over, and they watched a movie for a little while that they swore that their dad said they could watch. And I was watching it for a couple of minutes, and there was some stuff on there that was really pretty devilish. I mean, it couched it in humor, terms of humor, but people would be, you know, their arms would stretch out and their faces would lift and they'd raise chairs, and it was all in like a happy setting, and Henry's sitting right next to me, and every time somebody did something like that, he goes, he has powers. He has powers. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's got powers. He did not discern between good and evil. He just saw that's something that I can't do, that is powerful. But he could not discern. But there comes a day as when we understand enough of God's word, we start discerning, hey, this is evil. And then at that point, we can get very frustrated and very upset or very scared or very sick with that evil. Ephesians told us what to do and why it's that way and what to do. And Psalm 37 is just a nice thing to keep in your thinking. So we're just going to go through it. So it says, fret not. And the word fret is, there are several different words translated as fret in the Old Testament, but this particular one, and it shows up a few more times in this psalm, basically it means to be heated up, to be warmed. And we still use this in the same sense of don't get all hot and bothered. You ever hear that term? You know, that person got really hot-tempered or really heated. And usually it's used in the figurative sense of getting, you know, like a hot temper exploding or a pot of water boiling over. And, you know, just, and that's the same use back then. Fret not. Don't get all heated up, angered, hot and bothered. Don't let evil allow you to get your mind to a point you get all hot and bothered. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. When you finally get to a point where you recognize there's evil people out there and people who are doing evil, and I don't like that, and it's frustrating. One thing God says is don't get all heated up about it. Neither be thou envious or jealous against the workers of iniquity. Proverbs is loaded with verses that show there are people who love to do good and there are people who love to do evil. There's one verse in there that says an evil person can't go to sleep until they've done something evil that day. That's a bad spot to be in. But there are people that just love evil. When good is presented to them, doesn't sound like a good idea. Like God's word says, to be honest, don't lie. Well, you know, I don't like to be honest. I like to lie when I need to lie. It helps me. Or, you know, we're not to steal. But I like to steal. It helps me. Makes life a lot easier. Or adultery. But I like to get laid by somebody else. You know, it's just, I don't care. There are evil workers out there. And some people actually devise it. I mean, they scheme it. Some people just get caught away in it. But, so it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't get all hot and bothered over them. Neither be thou envious or jealousy against the workers of iniquity. Just keep your finger here. We're going to go to a quick side note. In Mark chapter 3. And look at an example of workers of iniquity. Mark chapter 3. This isn't the only type of workers of iniquity, but here is an example. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they may accuse him. So these were the Pharisees. And they didn't like Jesus healing people. He was doing good. They were calling that evil. And then to heal people on the Sabbath day, that's just the worst. So he comes into the synagogue, he sees the man with the withered hand, and they're going to just check out to see if he's willing to heal him on the Sabbath day, and so that they can accuse him. They're workers of iniquity. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. When he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and said, man, I changed my mind. This is terrific. Did you see that guy stretch out his hand? That would be what you would think would be the reaction to good. But instead, straightway took counsel with the Herodians. They were a political group that they hated each other, but willing to join each other for the hatred of Jesus Christ, against him, how they might destroy him. So they schemed, how are we going to get this guy dead? He's healing people now on the Sabbath day. That's calling things that are good, evil, things that are dark, light, and things that are light, dark. I mean, this is a great example of workers of iniquity. Let's go back to Psalm 37. But there are all types of workers of iniquity, and we've seen them. Maybe we even at one time was one. Maybe still are. You know, people who scheme evil things to do and work at it and implement it. You know anybody like that? So it says in verse 1 again, fret not thyself, don't get all hot and bothered over evildoers, neither be jealous over the workers against the workers of iniquity, for they, and here comes the big picture, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. There's going to be a day where they're done. They're done. Their day will be over. Just gone. And then the next couple of view verses give some things, directives for us to do, or for the believers in that day and time. Here's some things to do. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, just keep your heart into God, and you'll get your desires met. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Just great directives to do. In spite of a person being wise enough to discern evil, don't get hot and bothered about it. Just keep your heart in God and his word. Commit your ways unto him. He's going to bring things to pass for your life. You're going to have food. Unless the Lord returns, won't be leftovers. It'll be something new. So anyway, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not. Here it is again, same word. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When you rub up against somebody that's like that, it's irritating. The first time I ever understood a little bit, got a little taste of devilishness like this, injustice, I was fifth grade, just moved from Neptune to Wall. I really didn't know anybody in the school system yet. It was the first week or so of school. It was in the West Belmar School where Peggy works. And the fifth graders were the oldest in the school, and so they picked certain kids, fifth graders, they put this thing on them, safety, some type of belt, and they would be crossing guards. So somehow, they picked me as one of those kids. So, you know, you're just supposed to help kids walk across the thing safely. And sometime during the first couple of weeks, this one kid, he was an agitator. He was loud. He was a troublemaker. And he caused trouble in my spot, my crossing spot. And then it got reported, and then I don't remember the incident, but him and I had to go before, it was either the principal or vice principal, and explain what happened. And I explained what happened from what I knew, and he explained, and he kept saying all this stuff that was untrue. I was like shocked. I said, are you kidding? I just couldn't believe that he was saying all these lies. And then the principal sided with this kid. And they took my thing off, and I don't know if they gave it to them, but they, and so the rest of the year I didn't cross guarding, but I thought, that is just unbelievable. I just was shocked. It was my first taste of injustice in the world, not the last. But I was just shocked, and in my little 10-year-old heart, I was like, shocked. Just about all I can say. But here, we're not to get upset about people who bring wicked devices to pass. And if you've had unjust things happen to you in the court of law or in the opinion, court of opinion or whatever, it's just irritating, frustrating. It can get your blood boiling. But verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It's going to get you angry. It's going to get you upset. But cease from that stuff. And the ESV version, I thought, had a wonderful insight as far as the translation of this verse. It says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. You know, don't get all hot and bothered because, you know, in the long run, more evil's going to happen. You're going to do something because of your anger that you wish you didn't do. It only tends to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. Here's that big picture again. And those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, it seems like a long time for us, but in God's perspective, in a little while, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. It's like you're going to be looking for where he is, but he's not there. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth out against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. He's just chuckling. You know, that guy down there that thinks he's a hot shot, and he's pulling the strings, and he's letting the devil run his life, and he's got all what looks like the world's got to offer. He's chuckling at that guy. He's going to evaporate soon. And that's it. You know, he's going to be done. The Lord shall laugh at that day, at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now that's a gem. Better to be righteous and maybe not have as much as others than to be unrighteous and have lots of good, what the world would call good things. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. The word fat of lambs is actually the Hebrew word for pastures or meadows. And the idea is, because fat of lambs to me seems like, why would you want to get rid of the fat of lambs? But it's really the word pastures or meadows. The enemies of the Lord, they're going to be consumed just like a meadow. You know, it talks about the flowers here today and gone tomorrow, and it dries up and all that stuff. It's that idea that meadow, as beautiful as it might look, not going to be around that long. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. You love that, right? But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. This is just a terrific verse. The steps of a good man are ordered or directed or established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not her saints, for they are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. It's just the big picture. You know, there's a day where the believers are going to live eternity without all these devilish people, and they're going to have the land. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart. What a place to have the law of our God in our heart. You know, like Psalm 119 talks about, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a great scripture. The law of his God is in his heart. It's in that song, O Holy Night, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that the law of his God is in his heart. You know, and that is like we are. I mean, the law of our God is in our heart. Evil is not in our heart. The law of our God is in our heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee. To inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passes away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. It's just a great psalm. So, you know, we're not to get hot and bothered over evil. It's just not what God wants us to do. It's not worth losing our peace over. It's not worth getting upset over, because the big picture is evil's going to be destroyed. Now there are a lot of records in the Old Testament where it says the anger of the Lord was kindled. You know, he did get hot and bothered, but he's got hot and bothered towards his people that he called out for the Christ line. They were his called out, and they weren't doing his word, and it was a different circumstance. We're not to get hot and bothered about what the world does. God was correcting his people at times when they needed correction. And in Romans it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And it talks about, you know, not trying to do evil for evil. You know, there's a time where God's going to take care of that. And we're aware of that. It all starts when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And, you know, the records that are in the in 2 Thessalonians and the book of Revelation, where when Jesus Christ comes down and rules for 1,000 years, he will rule with righteousness. He will not rule with evil. He will not rule with, evil surmisings. It'll be a different day. And those evil people in the Old Testament that chose not God, the unbelievers in our day and time, they're going to be pass away. They're going to be gone. So, in the big picture, as you see things that go on in our world, the best thing to do is to pray. There's nothing wrong with speaking up, but, you know, speaking in tongues, standing on the Word, speaking the Word of God, which is light, those things help. Getting all frustrated It's just not fun. It's not. It's irritating. It's irritating to see, but we just don't want to dwell on it. The devil would love us, all the believers, to get so frustrated they don't want to do anything with God's word anymore. And that's a sin. So, and then we won't go there, but Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. That's how we are to live. We are to live with the joy of God in our heart, despite the circumstances. And that's based on what God has given us and made us in Christ Jesus. We have a lot to rejoice over. So, can't wait till the return. But in the meantime, not going to let the junk of this world bother us.
Transform, not conform.
Yeah, right.
Transform, right. Great thing there. Perry said, transform, not conform. Be transformed into that which we've been made in Christ Jesus. So it's great. So thankful that we get to do it together. It would be very sad if we were doing this by ourselves. The only person on earth. Look at Noah. He had his children got on by grace. I don't know about his wife, but it says that Noah walked with God, and he was the only one that God found grace in. And everybody did nothing but think and do evil in that day and time. That's a bad spot to be in. We don't live in a day like that. So just in case things change, they still can go on cruise ships. So anyway, thankful that we get to do it. And there are so many millions and millions of people around the world that recognize God's goodness. So nice to be part of that.